Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living
grace and peace, and thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show to Spirit, Meekness, and Charity. I'm the teacher tonight, and I'm pretty sure Brother McComb is online to read tonight, right?
Shalom.
Shalom, bro. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. All right, family. And you know what? The precept we're doing tonight, bro, family, it's a pretty decent, short precept. This is one of my mini projects I like to put on the table before I really do the grand slam. You know, but basically tonight we're just dealing with a small flavor of this seasoning to get an understanding on other things that a brother and sister can talk about according to scriptures instead of just using the exact same thing. You know, like how the precept said is like, you know, if we mind our business, we shall do well, right? And that's the whole thing, too. And you know what? It painfully honest, you know, life is so much easier once you mind your business and take care of your own work. You know, according to the scriptures, the Bible said to judge thyself and ye shall not be judged. You know, the whole thing is that I honestly and truly believe that we are not paying attention when the Bible said, talk about pointing a finger. And did you also know that also pointing a finger and being proud is also another form of strife? And that's also another form of dibbling, dabbling in other people's business? Because in order for you to be strifing and debating, you got to be in somebody else's business. That means that you're too worried about what other people are doing instead of focusing on yourself. You see? So it's nothing wrong with using scriptures to help people. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, at the end of the day, we should be worried about ourselves, because the Bible said, we got to turn ourselves around and change up and do what's right. So we're dealing with a little small project tonight, brothers and sisters, just to see how this thing go, and then through the grace of God, Lord willing, in the future, we can do a grand slam on this. So we just want to describe a couple of things out of the scriptures. You know, one-hitter quitters, and just verses to understand what the Most High is trying to show us. Because believe it or not, if you do well, if you mind your business, if you learn to stay quiet, oh my gosh, y'all, man, that'd be a great thing. But you see, we're not being taught like that. We're being taught to point the finger at people. We're being taught to be worried about what other people are doing. Now, like I said before, I'll say it again, there's nothing wrong with proving, because the Bible said prove all things. But prove all things don't mean just stand in one category. You know, because you know we love to attack people that go to church on Sunday. Come on now. There's way more stuff in the scriptures just to be worried about that. Because if that's all your doctrine is about, that means your doctrine is also about dibbling, dabbling, and a whole bunch of other things, and we're not paying close attention to ourselves. So tonight, we're just going to deal with a little bit of stuff, brothers and sisters. I'm going to start us on the Lord's Prayer, that Brother McCormick can read with the Father put on his heart. Smacks all sisters, please cover your head, and all brothers, please uncover your head. And if possible, let's face east towards Jerusalem so we can pray in. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. O God of my fathers and Lord of mercy, who has made all things with thy word and ordained man through thy wisdom, that he should have dominion over the creatures which thou hast made, and order the world according to equity and righteousness, and execute judgment with an upright heart. Give me wisdom that sitteth by thy throne, and reject me not from among thy children. For I, thy servant and son of thy handmaid, am a feeble person, and of a short time, and too young for the understanding of judgment and laws. For though a man be never so perfect among the children of men, yet if thy wisdom be not with him, he shall be nothing regarded. Thou hast chosen me to be a king of thy people and a judge of thy sons and daughters. Thou hast commanded me to build a temple upon thy holy mount and an altar in the city wherein thou dwellest, a resemblance of the holy tabernacle which thou hast prepared from the beginning. And wisdom was with thee, which knoweth thy works, and was present when thou madest the world, and knew what was acceptable in thy sight, and right in thy commandments. O send her out of thy holy heavens, and from the throne of thy glory, that being present she may labor with me, that I may know what is pleasing unto thee. I read Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, 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 bro. Powerful script, powerful script. Thank you, my
brother.
Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to take these scriptures up to shreds. Pure razor blades and lemon juice. You know, the great man, God is so great. You know, the Lord can use a servant to use to put forth a two-hour lesson. And the Lord can also use a servant just to get this matter done with a couple of scriptures, man. So, you know, it's just a beautiful thing to even look at the power of God that way. You know, but I really want to get on this thing. I really want to get on this precept, because it's like when you talk to people, well, you're not even talking to people, because, you know, we live in a world where computers and technology run everything. So it's even more safer to say at the same time that when you see things on social media, Or if you just talk to people, it's like everybody is talking about the same boring thing. You know, it's like, is that all that the Bible talk about? Is that all we know? You mean to tell us all we can do is point the finger at one another and act like our junk don't stink? You know? Because first we got the people that like to, you know, destroy the Gentiles. You know, the Gentiles, this, that, and the other. Then you got Esau. The Esau, this, that, and the other. Then you go to us. We got the people that go to church on Sunday, this, that, and the other. Everybody is so concerned with everybody else is doing, but how many of us is actually searching the scriptures to show the servants how to save themselves? You know, it's a good, it's, don't get me wrong, it's a good thing that you understand the rights and wrong, but at the same point of time is that everybody that call a self-serving God got a lot of mess. They got to clean up themselves before the Most High God get here. Everybody. And how could you clean all your mess up if the people that teach you or the people you look up to is not teaching you how to identify your own self? How could you identify yourself if all you're taught is, look what they do on Sunday? They believe they when they daddy go to heaven, they believe that. Yeah, that's good, we know that. But same point of time is, them precepts, boy, could be taught once every 6 years. Because there is so much stuff in this Bible. It's ridiculous. So we're actually taught to what? We're taught to point a finger at one another. We are taught to be proud. We are taught to be arrogant. We are taught at the same point in time the fruits that the Lord does not like. You're sitting here looking at that man across the street that all he do know is Sunday. You want to point the finger at him and talk about him, well, he ain't serving God, he ain't doing nothing. But here we go. We understand, we supposedly understand the scriptures, right? But we so stuck up in proud, being boastful, being arrogant, pointing the finger, we deal with strife and debate, we don't know how to deal in the fruits of the spirit. We got all of these things we need to work on ourselves. But how could we possibly work on those things if we too nosy watching what everybody else is doing? So what we're going to do is let's go ahead and just go into the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And Brother McCormick, this is a very short lesson, so you can take your absolute short, slow time if you want to. Been enjoying my daughter so much since she back home, so all praise to the Father on that. But the work must go on. So we're in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're at verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And what we're going to do, Brother McCormick, is we're going to read, let's see. We're going to pick it up at verse 21 because we were just going to read 21, but we could read 21, 22, 23. We're going to read verses 21 through 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 21 through 23. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at 21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. In the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And you know what? That's why I'm so glad that Nicole did that precept, man. You know, and just really, it just really try to put it in a hypothesis. you know, give his educated guess on the definition of blameless. No one knows what percentage of the work in the vineyard or your character as a person to be considered blameless. That's the first thing. But the second thing is the Lord said to prove all things. Ain't nothing wrong with proving all things, but you prove all things when people ask you a question. This is not you out there actually trying to pick a fight. You're not out there just trying to strife and to debate and to smite with the fist, you know, and just try to knock everybody off their feet on how well you know the scriptures. Because remember, this is still the portion that the Bible talk about in the Apocrypha, in the book of Second Ezra's. It said it was a portion given to the wicked, I mean to the worthy and unworthy. Right? So in all actuality, what the righteous know, the wicked know. So when you look at knowledge, knowledge isn't enough. Because you might know the Sabbath day, keep it holy. You might know the dietary law. You know the feast days. You might, you know, we know all them things. But guess what? The wicked know it too. So we have to understand, just because you can prove all things to that matter does not mean you are necessarily straight, because the wicked know that too. That's why you have the portion. And if you go in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 4, it said that you also had men crept in unawares. They crept in into the truth. So this whole knowledge banger thing, we got to understand the wicked know it too. So just because you go to class on the Sabbath day don't mean a damn thing, because the wicked know it too. That is not an identifier to put him on the pedestal of being righteous. The only way for us to do that is by the fruits of the Spirit. That is the only way to identify the righteous from the wicked, or playing in a book, or thinking that this is some wonderful thing that they're doing. The only way to prove is the fruits of the Spirit. So even though they're trying to do all these proving all things, that ain't nothing wrong with that. But the same point of time as being a servant of God, the great identifier is the fruits of the Spirit. So yeah, the Lord said prove all things. Yeah, prove all things. You know what I'm saying? But when you proving all things, what ought not to be done? Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 58. The book of Isaiah chapter 58. The book of Isaiah chapter 58, and let's pick this thing up at verse 9, because we've just read 1 Thessalonians. The Lord said, prove all things, but we still need something in front of us to understand what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. So the Lord said, prove all things. I understand that, but this is something we need to know too. Let's go into the book of Isaiah chapter 58, and what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 9. Verse 9, when you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Isaiah 58, starting at the 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger in speaking vanity.
Oh, so according to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21, prove all things, yeah. But when you proving all things, you better be careful on pointing that finger. Because when you pointing that finger, what's the purpose of you proving all things? Don't mean nothing. They doing this. They doing that. You know, we got the right stuff. We got the truth. My doctrine is clean. I'm pure in God's eyes. We doing this thing right. We gonna be the top. They doing this. They eating that. They serving this, they serving that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But at the same point in time is, why not teach the people how to defeat themselves in the flesh? That's all I'm saying. So why are we going to demolish the scriptures on what somebody else is doing wrong, why not do that once in a while, but take a whole portion of your doctrine on teaching people how to deliver themselves? Because if you teach the people how to deliver themselves, then that means they're minding their own damn business. They are working with their hands. And you are giving the people a chance, opportunity to have a broken and a contrite spirit, because you're teaching them to focus on themselves. And if they have a broken and a contrite spirit, that means you're actually teaching them and showing them how to come closer to God. Why not do it that way? But we can never get it that way because we're too focused on everybody else. How could you possibly get this thing right if you're constantly looking across the street at what somebody else is doing? You know, you're sitting down, right? This is my metaphor, right? You're sitting down, but you're always looking, you're always looking outside at the window, out the window, watching what everybody else is doing. You're so focusing on what they're doing, but you're starting to get cobwebs in your own house. The house is a mess. Everything is all torn up. You can't fix that because you're too busy looking outside, watching what everybody else is doing, and pointing a finger and trying to use that as scriptures on how things ought to be. But the same point in time is, why not stop looking at that window and clean that damn house up? And cleaning that house up is basically cleaning yourself up, cleaning up your heart, cleaning up your mind, trying to figure out how to defeat this flesh, showing God that, you know, you showing mercy and you showing love to people, but the same point in time is, you a filthy ass rag, and Lord, I need you to help clean me up. I do your job. You said teach these people, but I gotta also look at myself and Lord say, let's show you, Lord, hey, I ain't that clean myself. Because the book said ain't none righteous, no, not one. And how many times we go through Paul's scriptures, all the scriptures of Paul in the book of Romans, Paul said, man, oh, wretched man that I am. And the reason why Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, is because he's constantly focusing on himself as well. I got a problem. I got to do something with this flesh. I'm teaching book. I'm teaching scriptures. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But at the same point in time is, I'm not going to make it to the kingdom if I don't fix myself. How could you fix yourself if you're constantly too nosy and dibbly-dabbling in other people's business? So think about that. Let's go to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and all we want is verse 11. And we're going to read verse 12.
Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at the 11.
Yes, sir.
And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you.
Now we're going to have a Negro. Now we're going to have a Negro conversation. We're just going to put this in a Negro form. Now we're just saying, and if that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. So we're going to use this in our language. And if ye study to man your dang own business, and stop talking so much, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. So if you learn to shut up, if you learn to stop looking at other people and what they're doing, and if you learn to understand that you need to be working with your hands and constantly keep working on how to defeat yourself in this flesh and try to overcome this madness that we constantly want to do, then you'll be all right. Because now God can really work with you now. You taking care of the business. You proving all things according to the scriptures. You're not pointing a finger. And I see you got this broken and contrite spirit because you're trying to knock this flesh off and this, because you know it's trying to kill you. But the other people don't understand that. The other people is constantly looking, they're looking, they're pointing a finger, they're arguing, they're debating, and they have absolutely no time to look at themselves. So how could God actually fix you and to sharpen you and shine you up right if you only just looking out the window? How can he? But if we understand scriptures and if you study to shut up and do your own business, you'll be all right. Because, man, work has been really good for me. I'm going to tell you why. I learned how to shut up and mind my business and just go to work. It's been so staying on smooth. It's ridiculous. And the Lord showed me, see, all that drama you was in was all, look at this. You went through all this madness and drama just because you just don't know how to shut up, Isaiah. But it's since so, but since you learned how to shut up, you can now see the finer things in life. It ain't that bad. You just talk too much. And if you're a servant of God, you will talk to yourself just like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Verse 12.
12. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing.
And only way for you to understand that you have lack of nothing, if you're constantly working in the vineyard, you're constantly working on yourself, you're not pointing a finger, but you're just trying to do what's right. And doing what's right is the biggest part of your life is working and fixing on yourself. Because Israel in 2020, well, since the Most High opened my understanding up, I think it's going to have to get to the point that he's going to have to grab a baseball bat and go to our legs or something, knock us down a little bit, because we just talk too high and mighty. Because what I don't understand is that how can people boastfully say that I'm going to be God? But what scripture do they use? Boldly walking up to the throne. And when you look at the word boldly walking up to the throne, the Lord throwing bowls at you and you just being honest and throwing some humility bowls back at him. Hey, man, I told you I'd do that, man. What's going on with that? Lord, I tried my best to do that. I tried my best to get rid of that. But, Lord, I doubled up on my portions. Well, Lord said, yeah, I see you did this, but what about that over there? You did that. I want you pleased with that. What's going on with that? Lord, yeah, you knocked me down 10 times. I tried to do what dabbled up in that a little bit, but through the grace of the Father, I was able to stay in the house more and more often than usual. And I stayed in the book, and I tried to please you, my guy. Things like that. But if you ever look at the scriptures, you really don't hear the prophets talk like that. You hear Paul let you know he got a crown, but how he was talking before he passed away, that was in meekness and humility. Moses was a bad spade. Moses ain't talking like that. King David was a bad spade, a man after his own heart. You ain't hear him talking like that. It's because we know we still in this flesh, and anything can happen. Anything can happen. So now let's get with more of this meddling. Let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 26. The book of Proverbs chapter 26. The book of Proverbs 26, and what we're going to do is read one verse, and that one verse is verse 17. The book of Proverbs 26 and 17. When you get it, big bro, go ahead and read for me.
Proverbs 26 and 17. He that passes by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears.
Oh, my goodness. So I say, he that passeth by, right? So, you know, we're just going to put this on a scenario, right? So, you know, you got the brews out there, you know, they go on by stuff like that, or you in the classes, you know, just being a typical you-know-who. You know what I'm saying? You just going by meddling, strife. So now let's put this on a pedestal, what this is talking about. You going on by your business, you walking, stuff like that. You know, you might see, so you might walk past a laundromat on the Sabbath day and you see a brother or sister washing clothes. And what you gonna do? You gonna happy hop his happy behind over there. Now you know you're not supposed to be washing the Sabbath day. What you doing? Excuse me? Yeah, you know that the book said you're not supposed to be washing on the Sabbath day. What you doing? Or you might walk past and see somebody doing what? You might see somebody at the store, at the grocery store on the Sabbath day. And what's the first thing we gonna say? You know you're not supposed to be doing that. You know that's just gonna just tick the average person off. They'll tell you to mind your damn business. And then you might start getting off into a conversation that you don't want to on the Sabbath day. But it never would have happened if that person would have been meddling in your business. But the reason why he's meddling in your business, he only see the scripture that the Bible said, thou should not supposed to do no labor or do no working on the Sabbath day. But what they don't understand is that the Lord's, man, we in 2020. If your job requires you to work, then sometimes you just got to work. You know, you might have had a hard day all weekend. The only time you can get some clothes done on the Sabbath day. Now, it's not saying that this is a continuous thing. But at the same point in time is that stuff happens. But when you meddling, being in everybody else's business, watching what they're doing, looking at what they're saying, the first thing you want to do is go and run and grab them scriptures and be like, well, this is what the book said, this, that, and the other. You're not using the scriptures to help. You use the scriptures to cause strife and debate. Did you know you can use scriptures for strife and debate just by meddling? You thinking you're doing something right, but all you're doing is aggravating the situation. So let's read that again. It says, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belongeth not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Or they don't say nothing to you, right? They're just waiting until their homeboys or homegirls come to the Sabbath classes. Or when they get in, say, little groups in the classes, it did be like, hey, yeah, man, they was out there doing this on the Sabbath day, man. They ain't in the book. God separate yourself from them. You got all type of stuff like that. Now, that person might have, that person you put your mouth on might be doing great things for Most High God, and here you go putting your mouth on them. So stop meddling and mind your business. If you see your brother, man, just give him some love. You know, and they might tell you why they're doing it. You know, they might be like, hey, I lost my job, man. I got to do this extra stuff, man. This is my only time to get this done. It could be anything. Who knows? You know, I know I'm out here buying on the Sabbath day. Ain't saying it's a continuous thing. But we do not know the situation that people are in. But how could we ever sit back and think like that if we're the super bros? Oh, yeah, I'm not supposed to be doing that. But you don't know why they're doing it. They might be going through hell back and forth. And just probably didn't get a chance to do that last thing before the sun went down. You think the righteous God of Israel go tear them up to pieces because of that? And what they go say? Well, what happened to the man that picked up sticks on Sabbath day? That's a whole different story. God was right down there with them. Right, he was right down there with them. And that was a whole different dimension. But in order for us to understand this, brothers and sisters, we got to humble ourselves. We can't be out here just pointing a finger. And before you judge that person, try to understand why they're doing it. Because after they tell you why they're doing it, it might make more sense. And it might cause you to shut up before you do something reckless. Or what the Bible call it, meddling. It's because all we want to do is point the finger at everybody else in every other congregation. But I'm here to point the finger right back at ourselves because we ain't as smooth as we think we are. Now let's go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 23. And we're going to read verses 23 through 25. Matter of fact, and 26.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
2 Timothy chapter 2, starting at 23.
Yep, 23 to the end.
But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will.
Now, how could you ever get to the point so these people could understand that they're in the snare of the devil if you don't have patience? So just because you might catch somebody up and doing something, be patient with them. How many times that God called us up in our foolishness? Hey, I'm scared to try to put a number on that. He's still patient with us. So why not be patient with the other people instead of putting your mouth for them and try to tear them up with the scriptures? Because if you're patient and you're long-suffering with them, it'll give you a chance, opportunity for you to open so that person can open his mind up, where the Lord can open that person's mind up. And then they'll be able to see their error. Not by cussing them out or being all wicked and bogus to them and nothing like that. You ain't got to do all that. You ain't got to be pointing. You got to be pointing a finger. You ain't got to be smiting the fist. You don't have to be doing. You don't got to do none of that stuff. Just be a good brother to him or her. No matter how bad it might get. Because remember, what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, "Man, Peter, man, this devil desire you, man. But I pray to the Father that He strengthen you. And when the Father strengthen you, man, go strengthen your other brothers." So ain't no telling how bad that battle was Peter had to fight. But the same point of time is that Peter was patient. Peter was humble enough, and the Lord strengthened Peter. Now Peter is commanded to strengthen his other brothers. In order to strengthen other people, you got to understand patience. So they might believe in all these holidays. They might not believe in the dietary law. You know, they might not even believe there's a God that exists, but if they constantly keep coming to you with scriptures, it's obvious they're curious. So be patient with them. They might be an argumentative person and stuff like that. Just be patient with them and just let them know. But if we the super bros that end up in one conversation with somebody, and automatically cast them down as wicked, you ain't giving that fruit no time to grow. So please, understand that you got to have patience with the people that don't know the truth as well. But going back up to verse 23, it says, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes." So then we also got to be careful of that too. Don't be trying your best to try to get somebody to understand something on a foolish question. They laughing all in your face and pointing a finger at you. You know what I'm saying? The last thing you need to do is get yourself all bitter and angry and forget the mind of man you're supposed to be in the mirror. But when people ask you foolish behind questions, just avoid it. You ain't got to be all uptight. Just avoid it. And just by you avoiding that question, maybe they can see the temperance and humility with you, and the Lord might use that to open their eyes up. But how can we ever give God a chance to do and work his power and miracles if we don't give it a chance? How could God use us to be the servants of God if we ain't got no damn patience? All we want to do is meddle in other people's business, automatically toss everybody in the lake of fire, and all we want to do is try to prove to everybody else on why our doctrine is right, why our doctrine is pure. I'm letting you know that if you think like that and you hear them sounds of living water through the grace of God, you understand that we got some growing to do. And I don't care how old you are. And let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 6. We're in the book of Proverbs chapter 6. And what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 16. We're going to reverse it. Well, we won't verse 17, but you know it always goes smooth and bother when you put the other scriptures in. But matter of fact, we got time. We might as well. We're in the book of Proverbs chapter... Hold on 1 second. We just did that one. Yep, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. 16 through 19. When you get it broke, go ahead and read.
Proverbs chapter 6, starting at the 16. These six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart
now,
that
Now, 1 second.
Devises.
1 second. Now, what we got to do here, brothers and sisters, is that we need to understand that a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood is on the exact same pedestal. 1 second. Hey, baby, I'm on my blog talk show. Close the door. Thank you. Now, we have proud look, lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood on the exact same pedestal in the same verse. So that means the Lord look at proud as if you did what? Shed innocent blood. He look at proud as if you were a compulsive liar. Do you see, brothers and sisters, how we take what we want and leave the other stuff that we really don't want to concern ourselves with? But if you look at that one verse, them three things that we just read, proud, lying, and a killer, is on the exact same pedestal. So much for being so proud. Can't anybody tell you nothing? You think you all that with that vain and hubris knowledge and using your own allegories and your own fanciful stories and your own philosophies and robbing people through their own philosophies, we understand that all of that stuff is on the exact same pedestal as a liar and a killer. Go ahead and read.
And heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren.
Ooh-wee, that discord among brothers. So what I tell you, that's a man that's meddling. He's out to seek blood. He's seeking strife and debate. He's seeking strife. He's seeking smiting the fist. He's seeking all of these wicked things just to make sure he keep them brothers in tune with one another. Don't you know that we do the exact same thing in the classes as well? We sitting here looking at it like as, you know, we go to this camp, so we straight. But the mother camp, you better leave them alone. Now, they might become the best of friends. That camp and the other camp that we're friends with might become best of friends, but they can never be best of friends because the one that's telling you not to wear fringes or the one that's telling you don't deal with the person that don't wear fringes is in your ear. But didn't the book just say, man, that you can destroy brotherhood by doing that? So now you talk about these brothers that's doing this, and them talk about them brothers doing that, how could we ever love one another? Not even knowing that our actions fit the same pedestal of the seven abominations that God hates. These things ought not to be. A false witness that speak of lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Let's be mindful of that. Let's go into the book of James chapter 1. Well, the book of James chapter 4. The book of James chapter 4 and 1. The book of James chapter 4, verse 1. That's all we need. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
James 4 and 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members?
So now how on earth could we ever understand and recognize the lust in our flesh and the lust of our bodies if we're not trying to take heed to this messed up body and flesh that we're in? Now, the book is telling us, man, which come wars and rumors of wars and all that kind of stuff. Don't you know that come from the lust of your flesh? Don't you know that how we look at things, how we like to point the finger, how we like to use strife and debate and spite and offense and talking wickedness amongst one another? Don't you know that comes from the lust of our flesh? Now, we can talk about lust of the flesh when it comes to adultery and fornication and stuff like that, but not one time do we sit back and look at what the scriptures is talking about, the other things that's in the flesh the Most High is warning us about. It's the lust of the flesh when it comes from wars and rumors of wars and hatred and despite and despise. That also comes from your flesh too. Lust. You lust to have it. You must have it. It's all the exact same thing, brothers and sisters. It's all the same. But how could you understand that this is the same if you're constantly meddling in other people's business? Watching what everybody else is doing, but ain't nobody sitting back to watch and point the finger back at themselves. So let's be mindful of that. Now let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 22. The book of Proverbs chapter 22. The book of Proverbs chapter 22, and what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 10, and all we're going to do is read verse 10. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10, when you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Proverbs 22 and 10. Cast out the scorner, and contentious shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease.
Yeah, that nosy ass, that nosy behind brother or sister who like to keep up mess and everybody else's business, peeking at the corner watching what you're doing or trying to see how they can start up more mess. Because think about it, brothers and sisters. And people love drama. The more drama, the more people you get. The more smiting with the fist, the more pointing the finger, the bigger the audience you get. So the bigger the audience you get, the more money you get. The more ties you get. The more claps and hallelujahs you get. The more praise or honor you're looking for, the more you get. Right? But when a good brother or a good sister use the scriptures in love, then what happens? You start to get involved in with their money. You start to mess up their program. You are actually teaching the people how to think for themselves instead of being programmed through the freaking matrix. So we look at them two things as well. We have to understand that people love drama. People love madness and folly. But if we are serving a God, it's our job to make sure we cut all that stuff out. And when we're cutting it out, we're making sure we're looking at ourselves. Because I'm telling you, I'm just sitting here looking. And now I really understand when the Bible said that the more knowledge you get, the more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding you get, the more sorrowful you're going to get. Because you're going to sit up here and read this Bible, and you're going, the Lord is going to really show you what it's talking about. And then you're going to watch your surroundings. Why are you focusing on yourself? You're going to watch your surroundings. And you're just going to see that people just don't have a freaking clue. The women don't have a clue, and the men don't have a clue. Men and women is put on the same pedestal. That just destroyed the whole protocol of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, man, and woman. All we do is look at everybody else and their mama and what they're doing. Ain't nobody sitting back and watching themselves and trying to clean their own selves up. Everybody is throwing other people into the fire. Ain't nobody giving nobody time to try to get themselves correct. The Bible said to let no man rob you through your philosophy. But we can sit here in plain sight and show you a scripture that I understand and you understand. But just because it's been taught different to you and your teacher told you something, you knock it down. You don't want to believe it. Like that time when Sister Rhea put that scripture up on the Apophica. You know, the Apophica is some good stuff. And you had everybody and mama sounding like who? They teachers and elders. And you can tell ain't none of them read the Apophica. Because I think Job and Pharaoh tore them up to pieces. But all they did was make fun out of it, laughing, pointing the finger. They destroyed through the philosophy of their thoughts because they're robbed of their thinking. They robbed of their way of understanding. A man has taken that position from them. So now they can't see all this juicy stuff that's ahead of them. Don't let nobody rob you of your way of thinking. Don't let nobody rob you of your wisdom. Don't let nobody rob you of your knowledge or your understanding. Because just because they teach the book to you, don't mean that they're adding their own flavor. And you will never understand that if you don't take heed to the scriptures and read it for yourself. Be mindful of that. Let's move along. Let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 25. And I have one more after this. The book of Proverbs chapter 28, verse 25.
Proverbs 28 and 25.
Yeah.
He that is of a proud heart stir up strife, but he that
Go ahead, read. I'll let you finish. Just read that one verse for me. I'll let you finish. My bad.
At the top again, 25. He that is of a proud heart stir up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat.
Whoa, that's a big one. Did the Bible just say he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife? So a prideful, vain, and hubris knowledge man is perfect for stirring up strife. So when a man just constantly point a finger at other people and ain't dealing with himself, if all he can do is point at all the other congregations, all the other churches, or whatever nationality or whatever they believe in, if that's the only thing you can do with your doctrine, it is almost safe to say that you are a proud man, because a proud man is going to stir up strife. And how we teach our doctrines, we teach through strife and debate. If you teach through strife and debate, you are a proud person. And what did the book just say about the proud? Read that again for me, Brother McCormick.
Okay, 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat.
He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. So you got people that love stirring up strife. It is an identifier to understand that they are they are a proud and prideful person. In a book called Who a Proud and Prideful Person, saying the devil. And the Lord said a prideful, proud person wasn't what? They won't make it to his kingdom. So even though you know book, we still got to understand the portion that the book of Ezra, 2 Ezra was talking about the portion that is given to the worthy and unworthy, because they both know book. But the unworthy is going to do what? They're going to use some scriptures in strife and debate because they are proud. That is the person who has the unworthy portion. And if you're righteous, you're going to use it in a different way. You're going to use it in a more matter light. You're going to teach what thus said the Lord is, but you're going to teach the people how to save themselves from this untoward generation. Two different things. Now let's go to the last script. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 6. The book of Luke chapter 6, and what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is pick it up at verse 37. Luke 6 and 37. This will be last. We're just reading one verse, and we will deal with this precept again, brothers and sisters, probably sooner than later. The book of Proverbs, chapter 6, and what we're going to do is pick it up at verse 37. Luke 6 and 37, Luke chapter 6, verse 37, that one verse. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Luke 6 and 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven.
Amen. You know what I'm saying? Judge not, and you be not judged. And what's the first thing you got the Super Bowl saying? But the Lord said, judge righteously. If they say that, take them to that conversation that Paul had in the New Testament when he was judging and showing the brothers how they are ought to be righteous regardless on how. Well, I just put it to you this way because I don't want to mess that script up and have people talking, but I'll grab it out sooner than later. But what Paul was talking about was when he talked about judging righteously, Paul was talking about should we judge angels? And he was showing the people, the Lord is showing us how to judge righteously. You judge righteously by doing what's right when the people you're surrounded around don't have the capacity or power to do what's right. Somebody got to stand and do what's right. But the book said, judge not, that ye be not judged. So all you want to do is point the finger, smite the fist, and be proud? Then guess what? The Lord is going to have a very good story for you at that time appointed. But if you ain't judging people, but you're trying to be a help to them, you're being meekness, you're being temperance, you're being long-suffering with them, you're showing the fruits of the Spirit to help that person even when they're not able to help themselves. Now we're talking about a servant here. But in order to do what's right, don't be out here judging people. Don't be out there meddling. Learn how to mind your business and you do what's right. Instead of pointing a finger at everybody else named mama. Take that little jacked up finger of yours and point it right back at your filthy self. Like all of us, filthy rags. And let's try to clean ourselves up instead of pointing a finger and try to watch what everybody else named mama is doing. So through the grace of God, I hope you guys got some understanding out of this precept that is called, if we mind our business, we shall do well with Christ. And I thank y'all for y'all time.
Amen. Amen. That you are short and sweet, mind your business.
Amen.
You know, it's a time for everything. And a lot of times, man, we speaking on stuff we shouldn't be speaking on, especially when you're not invited to the conversation. A1. that's when it becomes debate. Now, if you invited to a conversation to bring out a point or a situation or something like that, then it should be done in decent order, because that's what Joe and Eliphaz and Elihu and those other two brothers from out of Mount Seir over there, they all brought book, but they done it with decency and order. They weren't behind a screen throwing rocks at each other. They wasn't on their laptop throwing rocks and bricks and stuff, and instead they sat down as men and actually got through what they're supposed to go through. And that's, and then, you know, as men, you hear each other out, you know. I'm sure every one of them was offended, because all of them was offended at one point or another. You could tell by their mannerism they was. But in the end, the Most High was the judge. You know what I'm saying? So whatever you be on, you better make sure it's from God. You better make sure you got the apostles and the prophets behind you. You know what I mean? Because you can mess around and you can have something that's testifying against the apostles and the prophets. And then it become a debate, because the apostles and the prophets ain't supporting it. That's all to it. You know, and you out there on your own in your flesh, because you ain't got nobody to stand. You ain't got the apostles. You ain't got the prophets. You ain't got Jesus. You ain't got nothing but what you think it means, or what you think this book is saying. You know what I mean? Man should live by every word of God. And that's the end game. If I can go on the word of God, then I'm supposed to be able to live by it. Everybody should be able to understand that. It shouldn't be a debate at the Sabbath day start in the evening, but it is now. Shouldn't be a debate that, you know, you should afflict your soul on the atonement. It shouldn't be eating, but it is now. You know, so sometimes you just got to deal with some things, because you got some people listening to them. You know, and sometimes, you know, like me and Jake, we used to hit the bus every week, train, plane, automobile, churches, you name it, every day of the week almost, seemed like. And we found out that it wasn't the person that was talking back to us that was getting the message. It was the person that was listening to the conversation that was getting the message, because then they judge for themselves, and more times than not, they came up to Jacob and myself, was like, hey, man, I was all right. We appreciate that. While the Muslim was up there, the Jehovah Witness was up there, and they was the ones going back and forth, but they received what the Father was giving up. So sometimes, you know, some people just soundboard to get the truth out. It works like that, you know. It is like that. So, hey, it is what it is. Great precept, brother. Stay out of people's business, and don't be putting your business out there. Nobody want to know about your dirt. You dig? I mean, it is what it is. I mean, if we want to confess faults and put them out there, we think we're delivering somebody, and that's one thing. But just be out there and out your dirt, man. That's bringing people to the judgment, you know, and that ain't cool. We ain't here for that. We're here for deliverance, Jack. Breakthrough. Educating people, bringing them to the next level. You know, can't do that if you debate or judging. Great precept, man. It's short, sweet, and straight to the point. All praise, brother. Jesus Lord. Hallelujah. I hear the mic.
Amen. Jesus Lord. All praises, bro. Thank you. Oh, yeah, brother, call me, bro. Type amen. Good reading, man. Good reading. Good reading.
Sir. Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.
Oh, yeah, good lesson, brother. Good lesson. Very great principle. Like I'm saying, minding our own business. We got to understand, and we got to be able to do that. And like I said, most of us, if you've been in this and you got true understanding, and the Lord has revealed this thing to you, and you're beyond trying to show, hey, I got all this understanding. I'm saying you should be in a place where I don't have to try to prove nothing to nobody. even in the people that don't know. I like saying, I'm saying, you want to stump people that don't know nothing, I'd rather have mercy on. He said, them that have mercy obtain mercy. I'd rather have mercy. I have mercy on people that I know that ain't nowhere near where my brothers, the Israelites, the people that God had revealed himself to them. When they ain't there, I'm not going to be like Jonah and wishing they still would get slaughtered. Jonah, them people didn't know nothing. He wanted them to still get slaughtered after they turned, when the whole city, he even made the animals take a fast, and Jonah still was upset. So that Israelites with that state of mind is still here, with that state of mind. But I'm going to read a scripture from, I'm going to be brief, I'm going to read a scripture from 2 Ezra chapter 9 and 13, and it's, I'm saying, about the wicked, who we consider the wicked and all these type of things and all that kind of stuff. But God, let's see what the Spirit of God tells us in this. 2 Ezra 9 and 13. And therefore, be thou not curious how the ungodly shall be punished. Like I said, why are you curious about how they're going to be punished? He said, and when? And when they're going to be punished? But inquire how the righteous shall be saved, whose the world is, and for whom the world is. Said, well, our concern is, we always say we're trying to turn people to righteousness. Why aren't you doing so? Why aren't you minding your own business and dealing with the people that is trying to do this thing the right way? And you got to have mercy and know God snatched a lot of us out of the Sunday church or whatever, or being an atheist. You think he was the last one he going to snatch out of the world? No, he's going to snatch a whole bunch of them, people still in the church and not believing at all, out. So with that, people, I was, like I said, I'm going to be brief, and I yield the mic. Great lesson, brother. I yield the mic.
Amen. All praises, bro. All praises. All right, do we have anybody else online that would like to say anything? If not, we can turn this joint back over to Brother Job and Sister Rhea.
Shalom, Israelite, once again, great precept, straight to the point, straight to the head. Once again, we want to be here tomorrow evening. Sounds a little wild. We got the Commonwealth of Israel. We're going to do the second half. What was that we did last week? Personal conduct. Yeah, personal conduct. We're going to do the second half of that. And then the Sabbath day precept is sodomy. Not homosexuality, sodomy. The difference. All right, so we're going to deal with the sodomy.
What? We got to deal with that. God, this might be some brand new.
Well, I think the
I'll be at work. I might have to deal with a write up. I might have to hear this lesson.
Well, God willing, man. You know we record everything, man. So I know when you get off work, you jump in your eye. You can just throw it on, and however you get down, Jack. You know. But yeah. Definitely, we are dealing with that sodomy thing. That's the Sabbath day. And then tomorrow, the Sabbath evening, we have Yah's Global Kingdom, man. And your brother Horace Miles is going through the Beatitudes that Jesus walked. You know what I mean? And I mean, that was just absolutely phenomenal last Sabbath Eve. Man, that was awesome. That Jesus walk, man, just sitting there and just walking with Christ, and he pointing out them differences was just phenomenal. It's great precept. You want to be here for that. So all of that being said, brothers and sisters, before we close out, we're going to ask our brother Isaiah, do you have any closing comments?
Just mind your business. Just do what's right. And, you know, when the time comes, you know, just, you know, patience. And, you know, and another thing I realized, too, that the Most High showed me, God, you know, he really showed this to me, is that regardless of how much you think you know about a situation, still be cautious. Because remember, there's that person's story and the person that they're into it with. That's their story. And you also get the truth. You know, so no matter how much you think you know. It might be a chance that you are woefully wrong. And I had to go through that myself to find out that I was woefully wrong. So that does not, just because we think we know something, don't mean it's the truth. And I'm talking about my whole hand was, I'm talking about my face is black, slap face in the face. I'm talking about myself. And I'm just talking about anybody else. When you're going to work, you know, if you're dealing with a relative, you know, if it's a family issue, you know, if it's a husband or a wife, you know, it could be anything or a boss. Just understand, you might think you know the whole deal, but at the same point in time is hold your peace and let the Lord, allow the Lord to reveal the whole thing to you, because yes, you can be wrong. It's a strong chance you can be wrong, you know, and to make sure that burden ain't on you like that, just remember that. You know, that wasn't a part of the precept or nothing, but I think that need to be said because, you know, sometimes we might have a, you know, I don't know how y'all live sometimes, but you know, when you think you know it, when you think you know what's going on, you got the beginning story, middle, and end story, but you only topped in on the end part of that damn story. And here we go. We got the whole story already played out. And come figure it out, plan A, B, C, and D was a failure.
Uh-huh.
And how you was even thinking was not even right.
Totally,
you know,
wrong.
That's something, yeah, and that's what the Lord showed me with certain situations I had to deal with. That just because you think something right doesn't necessarily mean it is right. You know,
that's
and you
right.
can put your mouth on somebody and to talk about people, you know, and to and use it in an ill-mannered way and come to figure out, you know, that wasn't even the case. So let's just be humble and let's be patient. Even though things get rough sometimes, let's still be humble and humility, so we don't kick the bucket over too hard and asking God for forgiveness and fasting for 3 to 4, 5 freaking days. So I hear the mic with that, brothers and sisters. I hear the mic.
Oh, amen.
Oh, praise you, brother. Well, we want to thank our brother Isaiah Brown of the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class out of Peoria. Drinking that drum, you know what I mean? We got to do something with the poopy boys, Jack. They sound kind of tired. Great precept again, Prince. You can catch him every Thursday night here at the Sound of Living Waters, man. That hubris knowledge, that's another chapter for that big book you've been writing, man. It's all good. With that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone in this. We say here at the Sound of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Times of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.